way to do that is by depending on the one that you don't want to grieve, and that is the Holy Spirit of God. So as we ask the Holy Spirit to lead us and help us every day, we gain His help to enjoy a successful Christian walk. He keeps our footing sure. And I'm going to read verses 25 down through, I probably told you to go to verse 30, didn't I? But let's back up and go to verse 25, because the antidote for disobeying God and falling prey to Satan's snares is actually found in chapter 5, verse 1. But before we get to chapter 5, verse 1, let's look at verse 25, and I'll read down through chapter 5, verse 1. And if you're awake and glad you're here, say amen. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Verse 26. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Now, did Jesus get angry? Yeah, he did. He did. So anger is a normal human emotion. When did Jesus get angry? When dealing with those money changers and his father's. Yeah, absolutely. And we have to be very careful. We can get angry. Listen, you can get angry at the sin, but when it comes time to be angry at the sinner, what is that healthy? No, it's not healthy. We're not judges. I mean, that's not to say that we can't discern someone's behavior based on their works and their fruit. Please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. We know that it's wrong for men and women to live together that aren't married. We know based on God's word that a male married to a male is a union, a ceremony that I can't conduct that. And yet I reminded you this morning that the Supreme Court is going to weigh in on that, and what they have to say is going to impact every Southern Baptist church. Because obviously, based on God's word, I can't, and there are some different denominations that you are very much aware of that are now starting to condone same-sex marriages. But I can't. Well, Pastor, why do you say that? Because God's word forbids it. So, if I'm going to get angry, I can get angry at sin, but I'm not supposed to sin. So do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Be angry at the sin and its consequences, but certainly you need to pray for that one who's sinning, nor give place to the devil. Verse 28, let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Verse 29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Verse 30, here it is. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. I'm not here to argue about once saved, always saved, but you need to understand something. If you're saved and you know it, then you should be bearing a certain type of fruit that I'm constantly talking about in Galatians chapter 5. Begins with love, ends with self-control. That's not to say that we're going to have mastery over the flesh, but it is to say that over a period of time, through a process called progressive sanctification, we begin to look more and more like Jesus the more and more we surrender the flesh to the Spirit. We allow the Spirit to take control over the flesh. If you're walking in the flesh, you cannot please God. You cannot please God. And yet all of us at some point or another, you've gotten angry at somebody. You were short-fused. Your temper, you said something that you wish you could take back, but you can't. That didn't come from the Holy Spirit. Where did that come from? It came from the flesh. Have you ever seen something that somebody else had and you wanted it? You coveted something that somebody else had. That doesn't come from the Spirit. Where does that come from? Or do you ever say, well, I wish somebody would notice me when I sing, or I wish somebody would notice me when I'm mowing grass or whatever. No. You know, humility and Christ-likeness can't be faked. It can't be reproduced. Only the Holy Spirit can manufacture that kind of love and humility. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. There was such a tender spirit here this morning, wasn't there? And let me say something else about the movement and the work of the Holy Spirit. When that kind of atmosphere, when that kind of, and that's not really the word that I want to look for, but when that kind of, when we're receptive to allowing the Holy Spirit to work in us and through us, it is amazing what you begin to see in churches, not just in Baptist churches, but in churches where the gospel is being preached. So that means that, here we go again, if my people who are called by my name will, here's that word, humble themselves and pray. My wife noticed there was a lot of praying going on this morning, and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Men, we're the high priest in our families. If we're sinning, if there's some area in our life that we're not allowing the Holy Spirit to have total and complete control, then we're not going to have the kind of victory that we potentially could have if we allow Jesus to be Jesus in us. Am I making any sense at all? So here is the antidote as we ask the Holy Spirit to lead us and help us every day if we're going to gain a successful Christian walk. It's found in verse 1 in chapter 5. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. All right, in a moment I'm going to ask you three questions, and then I'm going to give you three answers, and we're going to have a good time tonight. Can I get an amen? God saved me because God's purpose for saving me was, and I am most like Jesus when, and we're going to take that test together in just a moment. Before we do, come on and stand up with me. Great crowd here tonight, even though it's 95 degrees out there and on the asphalt it's hotter than that. Your pastor hasn't had supper yet, so pray for me. Can you hear my stomach? Oh, that's RJ snoring. Don't you go to sleep on me. Got those Bibles? Amen. Get them up high in the air where I can see them. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Tonight, I will be taught the Word of God. I seem to think that we look like Jesus when we're teaching like Jesus or performing miracles like Jesus. What they're looking at is only the outward manifestation of a person's witness and ministry. You need to look beyond the outer manifestation to the motivation for the life of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Everything that Jesus did, he did to please who? God, his Father. The motivation was never to bring honor and glory to the Son. It was to bring honor and glory to the Father. And that motivation was always service. So, Jesus preached, he taught, he healed, he performed miracles in order to help others, but he never called attention to himself. Why? He poured out his very life so that others might be saved, never thinking for a moment to save himself. Paul caught exactly the right tone when he wrote, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that through his poverty you might become rich." Can I get an amen? So, God saved me because he loved me. God's purpose for saving me was to bring him honor and glory. And I am most like Jesus when I am serving others. Now, God has called you and I to serve others just as Jesus served others. He didn't save you or call you to service so that you might be exalted. Didn't save you or call you so that you might be praised. Didn't save you or call you so that you might be glorified. Didn't save you or call you so that you might be put on a pedestal. He saved you so that you might serve others. And in so doing, you bring praise and honor to God's holy name. He blesses you so that we might bless others. Can I get an amen? Now, I don't think I need to tell you what that word blessed means. In the Hebrew, it means simply to impart supernatural favor upon. I came across a story that I wanted to share with you, and I guess I've ended up, well, I started to say I thought I ended up leaving it downstairs, but I did bring it up here. Let's close in Luke 6, verse 35. Turn over there. Luke chapter 6. Verse 35, and when you get there, say amen. I'm there. But love your enemies, do good, and lend hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be the sons of the Most High. Wait a minute, I need to go back and look at that. You want a great reward? Look at this. Hello? Don't you want your reward to be great? Then love your enemies and do good, and lend hoping for nothing again, and your reward will be, what does your translation say? Great, and you shall be the children of the Highest, for He is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. I was reading a story, and I'll close with this, in a book called Beneath the Cross of Jesus, if you want to write that down. The book is entitled Beneath the Cross of Jesus. And in that book, the author tells a true story of a young Korean exchange student. He was a leader in the Christian circles at the University of Pennsylvania, who left his apartment on the evening. It's an old story, but a true story. He left his apartment April the 25th, 1958, to mail a letter to his parents. As he turned from the mailbox, he was met by 11 young teenage boys. Now, without a word, they beat him with a blackjack, a lead pipe, their shoes, their fists, and they left him dying in a gutter. Now, this is 1958, and based on what I've been watching in the news, nothing about man's character has changed in 40 or 50 or 60 years. The boy died. This happened in Philadelphia. All of Philadelphia cried out for vengeance. The district attorney planned to seek the death penalty for the arrested teenagers. And then this letter arrived, signed by the boy's parents and 20 other relatives in Korea. Let me read this to you. Our family has met together and we've decided to petition that the most generous treatment possible within the laws of your government be given to those who have committed this criminal action. In order to give evidence of our sincere hope contained in this petition, we have decided to save money to start a fund to be used for the religious, educational, vocational, and social guidance of the boys when they are released. We have dared to express our hope with a spirit received from the gospel of our Savior Jesus Christ, who died for our sins. The point of this story tonight is just simply a reminder. When you and I forgive, when you and I become, as I believe the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5, when we become imitators of God, we're not perceived as victims anymore, but we're placed into that realm of victor. But love your enemies, do good, lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the Highest, for He is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I don't know why I felt compelled to share this very short message with you all. Actually, it was more of a quiz, more of a test than anything else. I sometimes have to be reminded, Teddy, I love you. God saved me because He loves me, and God loves you. And as I've said before, many people seem to believe that God saves a man or a woman because of the person's good works or service, but nothing could be further from the truth. No amount or type of service can earn salvation. Remember, the Apostle Paul said, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Even the faith by which we believe that God forgives us and saves us is a divine gift that flows from His love. God saved me because He loves me. That's why this church exists. That's why the doors will never close. It's because of the love in this body of Christ. And remember, God's purpose for saving you is to bring Him glory. Think about that. Is this song I'm going to sing, is it going to bring Him glory? Is this message that I preach, this lesson that I teach, is it going to bring Him glory? Is this friendship that I'm making with this person, will it bring Him glory? The movie that I'm about to watch, will it bring Him glory? God desires to manifest His character through our personalities and giftedness. And as I said a moment ago, when we allow His Holy Spirit to work in us and through us to others, we become vessels of love in action. And then remember, I'm most like Jesus when I'm serving. Not necessarily when I'm preaching or teaching, although certainly I want you to feel, see, hear Jesus in my preaching and teaching. But that's just an outward manifestation of my witness in the ministry that God has placed on me. The need to look beyond the outer manifestation to the motivation is the life of Jesus Christ. That motivation was always service. Jesus preached, Jesus taught, healed, performed miracles in order to help others, and He never called attention to Himself. Father, we're so thankful for the men and women who received Jesus Christ this morning, for the baptism that comes next week. But Father, that service is behind us. All around us, there are men and women and boys and girls who are hurting and who are lost. Father, give us a heart of compassion to win the lost to Jesus Christ with a sense of urgency, knowing that at any moment, at any day, your return could take place. Help us to grow. That is my prayer. If there's one in our midst lost, I pray that you would save their soul. But if we're all saved, help us to grow. Help us to put on Christ. Help us to bear much fruit. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.